Okay, take your Bibles and turn now to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, Mark chapter 4, and today we're looking at verses 1 through 20, Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. Everybody there? Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seeds, some fell about the path or along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Then Jesus said, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.' When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, 'The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven.' Then Jesus said to them, 'Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your ministry amongst us, your presence. As we come before your word, we pray that you would speak afresh to us, and give us ears to hear you, hearts to receive you. May we be open to all that you desire to do amongst us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, here we have another sandwich. We saw a sandwich last week. Here we have another sandwich in Mark. This sandwich, a little bit different, but basically the same kind of principle, where this time we have a parable of Jesus. And so we have a parable, the sower sowing the seed, and then we have a word about parables and the kingdom, and then we come back to the parable of the sower, and Jesus explains it. And so again, kind of this sandwich effect, we've seen it before last week, where Mark starts out kind of telling one thing, and then he goes to another thing, and then he finishes what he started out to tell. And so one of the things that we want to do with these sandwiches is we want to look at how it fits together. Now, here's the thing I think we need to pick up on in terms of this kind of sandwich effect this time around. You have the sower on both sides of it. In between, you have a word about the kingdom and parables. And I think the thing that we need to get is that the parable about the sower has to do with the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God has to do with parables. Now, one of the things that we need to answer is, what is a parable? And a parable is more than an illustration. parable is something that you have to kind of get. A parable usually has a surprise to it. Some have said that parables are kind of like jokes. Last night I had the privilege of being at the beach around a fire with a number of our teens, kind of a spur-of-the-moment bonfire type thing. And one of our youth put forth the question, very profound question, deep question, why is it that women have hairy armpits? And that was a question that came up as we were around the fire there. And there was great expectation in terms of what the answer might be. Because the question was kind of set, you know, you're kind of wondering why things are like they are and why women have hairy armpits. And you could have gone all different directions with that, you know, in terms of, in terms of puberty, in terms of genetics. I don't know. You could have gone all different ways. But the way that I responded was it's because they don't shave. And what I want you to see is that the way a joke works is you're there and you're kind of leaning one way. You're kind of expecting something. And then there's a surprise. Now, it's not that funny, the line, you know, because they don't shave. Okay, there's nothing funny about that. Some might say there's something gross about it, but there's nothing funny about it. What's funny is the surprise. It wasn't the answer that was expected. Okay? And that's really how humor works. Somebody's telling a story, somebody's telling a joke, they get you leaning one way, they get you expecting, oh, it's going to go this direction. And what makes something funny is the surprise. Now, if you're not leaning, then there's no surprise, and it's not funny. You have to kind of connect with where it's going. And until you connect with where it's going, the surprise can have no impact on you. Parables are much the same way. Parables have a kind of a surprise to them, kind of a punchline to them. But for the parable to have any impact, you have to kind of connect with where it's going. You have to plug in at some point along the way in the story, in the parable, in the joke, you have to plug in at some point in order for there to be a punch, in order for there to be a surprise. Now, with a joke, what's it supposed to do? The surprise is supposed to call forth laughter. It's supposed to call forth a response. It's not simply, oh, I get it. If you just get it, but there's no laughter, it didn't work. Okay, so it's to call forth a response. Parables are supposed to call forth a response. And I think this is one of the places where we've missed what a parable is. That we tend to think that parables are simply examples or illustrations. Okay, a parable is far more than an illustration. Okay, the point of a parable is to kind of surprise you, but in the surprise, to call forth a response, to move you to some type of action. That's the point of a parable. Not simply to illustrate, but to call forth response. Now, kingdom parables. What Jesus is saying is that as he tells parables of the kingdom, his purpose is not simply to illustrate what the kingdom is like. His purpose is to call forth a response to the kingdom. So that you open yourselves, so that the people in the story open themselves to the rule of God, to the reign of God, to shake them up a little bit, to cause them to re-examine their life. They thought life was one way, and maybe they thought God was one way. And so they're kind of leaning one direction, and the parable is supposed to be kind of a surprise, to get them to open their minds to begin to see life differently and to respond to God differently, to respond to God's rule differently. And so that's what's going on in parables. And the reason why Jesus uses parables is not to confuse people. Jesus uses parables to try to expose what God's kingdom is, to expose the truth that God's kingdom is coming through him, and to expose our response to the kingdom so that we can kind of better see what was hidden. And so the purpose of telling a parable is not so much to confuse people as much as it is to try to shake them up and to help them see differently, to help them begin to get it and to respond appropriately to the kingdom of God. Parable of the sower. Jesus says, he's teaching in a boat, crowds are gathered there at the seashore, and Jesus says, I want you to listen up. He says, it's like this, a farmer goes out to sow seed. And some of the seed, as the farmer is sowing the seed, it lands on the path and along the path. And it never really gets into the ground, and birds come and they eat it up. Never takes root at all. Just bird feed. And then some of the seed, it lands in soil that's kind of rocky and really shallow. And that seed, it takes root, it springs up, but a few hot days and it withers and it dies. And then some seed, it falls and it grows, but there are weeds and thorns and thistles that start to grow up around it. And while it grows, it never produces a harvest. It never bears any fruit. But some seed lands in good soil. And that seed produces a harvest of 30-fold, 60-fold, even 100-fold. Now, that's the parable. I'm kind of wondering if Jesus ever told himself parables. I'm kind of wondering if Jesus ever preached to himself. Because most of us preachers, when we preach, we're actually preaching to ourselves. And you guys may think I'm talking to you, but most of the time I'm talking to me. I wonder if Jesus was like that. That Jesus ever kind of told parables or kind of preached to himself. See, what's going on with Jesus' ministry thus far? Well, he's got a few, a dozen or maybe a little bit more than a dozen, who are actually following him. They're actually receiving him. They're actually arranging their life around him. They're actually under him. They're actually recognizing that, hey, there's something about Jesus. I'm living my life under him and around him. And there are others who are just kind of coming for the show. And they come to see what's going on and they're following for a while, but they really haven't made that commitment that, hey, they're really going to follow Jesus and be with him wherever he goes. And then we've seen that his own family has kind of come thinking he was crazy and they're going to try to silence him. He's becoming an embarrassment to them. And then we've seen other people are even trying to shut Jesus up. And other people are saying Jesus is of the devil. I mean, I wonder what was going on through Jesus' mind as he begins this ministry. Hey, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. And he's healing people and he's casting out demons and he's teaching. And he's getting such a crazy response to where there are a few who are following, and yet it seems like there are so many that aren't getting it and even turned against him. I wonder if Jesus was at some point thinking about what was going on in his ministry and noticed a farmer sowing seed. And Jesus may be thinking, that's it. That's what's happening with my ministry. That my words are landing on the path and Satan comes and those words get plucked up and never heard. Or some people start to follow, but they quickly fall away. Or some people are kind of following, but they're not really letting go of things and they're not getting it. Ah, but the 12. Ah, but those who are gathered around with me, there's going to be a harvest there. It's going to produce 30, 60, 100 fold. I just wonder if Jesus was maybe preaching to himself a little bit. that before he ever spoke the parable to the disciples, the parable was speaking to him. Keep sowing. See, and I think that's one of the messages of the parable. I think that's one of the ways that we're called to respond. It's a parable of encouragement. And I know sometimes we can get bogged down in and end up focusing on the seed that lands on the hard path, that gets eaten by birds, the seed that lands in the rocky soil that springs up but dies, the seed that ends up being kind of choked out, the plants get choked out by the weeds to where they don't produce. Sometimes we can get focused on that and it seems so discouraging. But we need to hear the harvest 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. This is a parable of encouragement. Of encouragement to keep sowing. And I suspect that as Jesus thought about the parable and preached the parable, it encouraged himself. That he was encouraged by it. And one of the things that the parable ought to call forth from us is encouragement to keep on sowing. To not give up. Now, I hope you hear that. I hope for a moment you let yourself go to the 30-fold, the 60-fold, 100-fold, and not get caught up on the frustrations or the failures of sowing, but to realize that there's a harvest and that there will be a harvest that will far outweigh all the frustrations and all the seemingly failures. The 30, the 60, the 100. Maybe a word on that. Scholars are kind of divided on this, what those numbers represent. Some contend that the 100 means that if you planted, 100 bushels of wheat seed, one bushel of wheat seed, you'd end up with 100 bushels of wheat. And that would be an outrageous harvest. That would be wild to plant, one bushel of seed, a quart of seed or whatever, and end up with 100 times that in the harvest. Average was about 10. So this would be a crazy harvest. Others are of the opinion, no, they're not talking about so much the harvest of, in terms of 100-fold, what you planted, you get 100-fold back, as much as what one plant would produce. That there would be like 100 kernels of wheat on one plant. And that was more realistic. That would be a good harvest, but a realistic harvest. Whichever the case may be, they're all pretty much agreed that the focus where the parable goes is the harvest. Stay faithful. Keep sowing the seed of the gospel. Keep talking about Jesus. Keep ministering in Jesus' name. Keep at it. Sometimes we can get pretty discouraged in our sowing. And we can think, why bother? And sometimes we can give lessons. Sometimes we can teach classes. Sometimes we can testify time and time again, and it just feels like nobody's getting it. Sometimes it's to our families. Sometimes it's to our best friends. Sometimes it's at work. Sometimes it's even right here at church. And you're teaching a class, you're working with youth, you're working with kids, you're working with men, you're working with ladies. I mean, you're working with people that you care about. And you keep trying to talk to them about Jesus, and you keep trying to show them the Jesus life, and you keep trying to love them. And for whatever reason, it just seems like they're not getting it. And it can be incredibly frustrating. And you're ready to quit sowing. Well, the word is, keep sowing. Because some seed, whether you realize it or not, some seed is landing in good soil. And that seed is going to produce a harvest beyond your wildest imagination. That seed is going to make all of the sowing worth it. So keep sowing. And if you're here today feeling like giving up and feeling like it's in vain, Jesus, through this parable, wants to remind you it's not in vain. Keep on sowing. Now, this parable elicits another response. You can't help but read this parable, hear this parable, and think about yourself a little bit. Not as the sower, but as the soil. And it begins to raise the question, what's happening in my life? How's the seed doing? How's the gospel in my life? And you can't help but notice the four types of soil. That on the one type of soil is hard, the word goes out, but it's like the ears are stopped up and there's no response. And the gospel never takes root. There's no new life there. And the other types of soil, quick start but falls away. Or grows but unfruitful. Or the good stuff that produces 30, 60, 100 fold. What's the soil condition of your heart? It changes. Sometimes we're hard-hearted. Sometimes we're good. What's the condition of your heart, the condition of your soil? I have a little bit of good news for you. That none of you are so hard-hearted today that it can't take root. Otherwise, you wouldn't even be here. If you were, I mean, you got to be a little bit soft, a little bit broken up to even be here today. Otherwise, if you were really hard, somebody would say, hey, let's go to church today. The Spirit might have spoken to you, hey, let's go to church today. And you wouldn't have listened. And it would have just bounced off you and you would have done something else today. So the very fact that you're here tells me that your heart is not too hard. That the Spirit is already working, your soil is already broken up a little bit, that you can begin to hear. And if the Spirit's convicting you that your heart has been hard, that you're really not listening, if the Spirit's convicting you about that, then this is an opportunity for your heart to get kind of broken up some. And you can see, that's the wonderful thing, is that the condition of our heart, the soil, can change and can be changed. And so nobody is locked in to being hard-hearted forever. Nobody is locked in to one state of soil. And so if you're feeling convicted this morning about being hard-hearted and not listening to the Lord and being shut off to the gospel, well, the very fact that you're feeling conviction, that's good news that soil is starting to break up some and that the Spirit is at work to soften you. And the parable calls forth, is Jesus is trying to call forth a response within you to surrender, to humble yourself, to open yourself up to what He desires to do. It's not too late. You're not damned to have an eternally hard heart. You can surrender. Some of us are like the soil that falls on the rocky places. And we spring to new life and we get saved and we get joyful and everything is going great. But there's no root. And as soon as a hard time comes, we fall away. As soon as there's some type of pressure in our lives, some hard spot we go through, we're right back to the old way of life. And we've given up on Jesus, and the new life that was in us, it just kind of dies. And if you're recognizing, hey, that's me, that's been me. I've sprung out maybe 5, 6, 7 times. And as soon as something comes up, I'm right back where I was, and I'm back out in the world, and I'm back to my old habits, and I'm not getting anywhere. I'm not growing. I die. Well, if that's you and the Spirit's talking to you that's you, well, that's good news. The good news about it is you're not damned to that. You're not forever stuck there in rocky soil. See, the parable, Jesus is trying to call forth a response to the kingdom, saying, okay, this is where you're at, but you don't have to be here. You can deepen that soil so that the root can grow deep, so that the gospel can really take root in your life, and you can grow in the midst of hard times rather than wither in the midst of hard times. So that when life gets difficult, instead of just kind of dying and going back to the old way, you can actually grow and persevere and produce a harvest even in the midst of that. Well, how do you do that? Well, one, the fact that you're here, that's good. That's a start. But if you really want to grow deeper, I think you need to make this Christian life more than just a place on Sunday mornings for a couple of hours. That if you really want to grow deeper, if you really want to live, if you want to have that life that doesn't get kind of snuffed out by hard times, well, then you got to do some work at cultivating the soil of your life. A Bible study through the week. Some devotions during the week. Reading the Word. Time in prayer. Make yourself accountable to someone. Don't try to grow by yourself. Live this life together with someone so that you have someone that you pray for and that prays for you. And so that you're attending a weekly Bible study. And so that you're reading the Scripture each day. And so that you're spending some time in prayer. See, if you give yourselves to that kind of farm work, then when the hard times come, and they come for all of us, you'll find that you keep growing rather than getting scorched and going back out into the world and living the old way. Ira testified this morning about camp and taking little steps towards God. And I think that's what he's talking about. That when hard times come, you don't just go back to the old way, that you're taking little steps of obedience. Being in the Word, being in the service, being at Bible study, praying for somebody, sharing your life with somebody instead of keeping your life hidden. As you do those things, in the midst of the hard time, you'll discover yourself growing. The third category, again, calls forth response. This group, the seed is grown, the plant's alive, but there's no fruit. There's no fruit. See, and the goal of sowing seed is to have a harvest, not to just have living plants. And the reason why there's no fruit is because they're going after the concerns of the world. The deceits of wealth, trying to have everything that the world offers, going after that stuff, rather than faithfully following Jesus and letting go of the world. Maybe that's you this morning. We're all there at some point. To where, yes, we're Christians, and yes, we're alive in Christ, and Christ in us, but there's no fruit. There's no fruit of the Spirit. There's no fruit in terms of other people coming to Christ through our lives. And the reason why is, while we may be alive in Christ and we may know Jesus, our lives are just like everybody else in the world, where we're all about the stuff that the world's about, whether it's money, whether it's fame, whether it's popularity, whether it's a position at work or at school. But we're just like everybody else. And we've been caught up in all of the concerns of the world to where the world sets our agenda for what we're trying to do in life and what we're trying to get out of life. And so we might have this walk with the Lord, but there's no fruit. See, it's the seed's not sown just to have a plant. The farmer sows to have a harvest. And maybe that's you this morning. As you hear this parable and the Spirit kind of is calling forth a response from you to these words from Jesus, maybe you recognize, wow, I'm alive, but there's no fruit. It's getting choked out. If that's you, that's good news that you recognize that. That's good news that the Spirit is convicting you at that point. The parable's working. It's calling forth the response. And the questions that you have to kind of answer, am I going to repent from those things that I'm involved in and those concerns and those things that I'm chasing after and really give myself over to Jesus and to His kingdom concerns? Suggestion. Get involved in a ministry. Instead of doing your own thing on Friday nights, come to the church and help out on Friday night. Find a way to get involved. Find a way to help somebody instead of just living for yourself. It can be through the church. It can be through any number of avenues. But usually, kind of the cure for this is to get outside of yourself and start helping somebody else, start caring for somebody else, start serving. And see, if you're a Christian, but you're not involved in any kind of ministry, you're not involved in any kind of service, you're not doing something for others, you're just really kind of self-absorbed, that's you. You're alive, but there's no harvest. There's no fruit. And so I'd encourage you to pray about, Lord, that's me. I don't want that to be me. I know you want to change me. Lord, where do you want me to get involved? Lord, what kind of service do you want me to engage in? Lord, who do you have in my path that needs me right now? That needs me to give them a call, that needs me to pray for them, that needs me to visit them, that needs me to start caring for them? Lord, do you want me to teach a Sunday school class? Lord, do you want me to help out on Friday nights in the kitchen? Lord, what do you want me to do? So that there's fruit coming from my life, rather than just being kind of a self-consumed, self-absorbed follower. And then if you're 30, 60, 100-fold, don't stop. Don't stop. Keep on going. See, what the parable evokes from you is just how important it is to keep that soil good. That you don't allow yourself to get hard-hearted about anything. That you don't revert back into shallowness by letting things slip in your life. That you don't get self-absorbed to where you get deceived into going after pleasure and wealth and all of that stuff. See, it evokes a response to just double check and make sure that the soil stays right. So what's your response? Pray that you keep sowing. And I pray that you do whatever the Spirit's convicting you to do about the soil of your heart, so that that gospel can take root and can grow and can produce a harvest. Stand with me. And Eddie, if you come and worship band, and Kristen, if you'd come. Kristen, I guess she's with the kids. But if you guys could lead us in the third song that we did this morning, we stand and lift up our hands. If you guys would lead us in that. And as they lead us, I invite you to come and receive communion. And really take the parable to heart as you come. Make your coming to the Lord's table your response to the parable. Parables are to call forth a response. Make this your response.